Morning. So we continue our study in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 14, verses 6 through 13. So we are slowly working through these passages, verse by verse, to really get the depth and the greatest meaning out of all of it. Last Sunday, we looked at the first five verses, and we saw where there was celebration in heaven. And what we needed that reminder, after we've talked about a dragon and two different kind of beasts, we needed that reminder that what we go through in this life, through this end time season, that there's a celebration waiting. It is a delayed celebration for now, but there is great celebration coming for us as believers in Christ. Today we look at verses 6 through 13. And John sees something a little different in this vision with these three angels. And it's really unique that the first one really proclaims the gospel. The second one proclaims a judgment, or the judgment. And the last announces judgment to damnation. There's consequences for rejecting Jesus Christ. Consequences. There's benefits for following Christ, and there's consequences for rejecting Him and living like you want to in this world for yourself. This is not my rules. It's God's rules. It's His universe. We're living in it. If we don't like it, we need to get our own universe. But today, as we look at these three things, let it be a reminder to us that we embrace the gospel. And because we embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, the full wrath of the fury of God's judgment doesn't fall on us. And we don't have to worry about the damnation part. But we have friends and family who reject Jesus. You know that, and I know that. Some even say that they're Christian, but their lifestyle proves something else. The evidence is not there. You have your Bibles, Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 through 13. It was said, people on earth hate to hear the word repent. Those in hell wish they could hear it one more time. Revelation 14, verse 6 through 13. Preaching of the gospel by the first angel, the pronouncement of judgment by the second angel, and the promise of damnation by the third angels. We read together, beginning down in verse 6. John says, then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. And then a second angel followed him and said, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries. Then a third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on his forehead or on their hands, they too would drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of His wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest for them, no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and its image, or for anyone who receives the mark of His name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God, who keep His commands and remain faithful to Jesus. I love what verse 13 concludes with. Then I heard the voice, a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Let's pray together. Father God, today as we read your word, God, it doesn't strike fear in us, but God, it strikes this awe of your judgment, of your grace toward all humanity, but especially those who receive Jesus as Savior. And God, that extension and that openness to everyone, that call is to every person on the face of the earth for repentance. Oh, Father, today, teach us from your word. Comfort us as Christians, but also ignite a fire in us to know that we have family and friends who do not know you. We are the holders and proclaimers of the gospel. Let us be diligent about doing what you've called us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. People are constantly hoping for a better day. We all want tomorrow to be better than today or even yesterday or last year. We always look for the future to be better than what we hope. Listen, politicians and world leaders, we hear all kinds of promises in these debates. Business leaders seek, you know, they all seek peace and how to grow the economies of the world, especially here in the United States, so everybody can benefit and live more comfortably. You know, people would like to see the stock market continue to rise because retirements are in there and many fortunes are there. World leaders strive for power and peace at the same time. People want to see crime rate go down, poverty and disease eliminated. And environmentalists, they want to see conservation rise, and improve the things that we need around us in our earth. We want to see an end to hatred and to racism and to strife. But sadly, all of man's efforts, listen, to bring about a better world with great intentions will ultimately be doomed because of man's sin nature and the sin in the world. All of man's efforts, think about it, all of man's efforts add up to little more than rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic to give everyone a better view as the ship sinks. All the things around us, all the money that we invest and throw at all these things, thinking that if we just be better people, if we just try harder, if we just conserve and conserve, listen, those things are wonderful, but that's not the answer. Those things are great. There's still coming a day when Christ returns and all of this is wiped away. There's still coming a day. So, Brother Kevin, how can that be? Listen, God created the earth perfect. He created man perfect. We blew it. We messed up everything. We messed up the world. Christ comes to reestablish it and restore it like it was originally, better than before. So the truth is that that's unimaginable. Worst day lies ahead for man and his world because of sin. God's wrath is being poured out and will escalate in judgment on a scale never seen before. Only after the world is devastated and unbelievers are judged will there be a better day when Jesus establishes his kingdom. We saw that in Revelation chapter 6 through 11 and Revelation 15, 19 we're coming to. They all say about God's judgment on sinful man. See, we have a hard time understanding God's judgment and seeing it on that scale because we've gotten so used to God's grace that sometimes we abuse. We dive in the Word, let us observe the warnings given to the people of the earth. The first angel that we see is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 6 and 7 says, then I saw another angel flying in the midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. he said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." John saw another angel. He's seen many angels in all these visions in Revelation. And here are three more that he will see. This one is flying midair, meaning really right overhead, where everyone in the whole world could see him. So he's flying midair. And he's proclaiming in a loud voice the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's proclaiming to the world, to everyone, the gospel of Christ. He's preaching to who? Those who live on the earth, the lost, the unbelievers. This is not a new audience that the gospel message is going out to. We saw in Revelation chapter 3 and chapter 11, John calls them earth dwellers. Earth dwellers is a reference for used for the people who live only for the earth and all the things of the earth. People who chase after their own desires, the things of this world, wealth, fame, position, some form of things in this world to bring some kind of temporary satisfaction and say, "Aha, I've arrived." They live not for God. They live not for Christ. They live for themselves. We see this all around. And the lure is very strong on us also to pull us to do the same, to live for ourselves rather than live for God. The message is proclaimed. This proclamation of salvation in Christ alone to bring glory to God is a universal message. Jesus didn't want it to stay with just the Jewish people. He didn't have just a select group. He wanted everyone in all the world to be discipled, to know him as Savior. Every nation, every tribe, every language, every people, he proclaims the eternal gospel of Christ, who was chosen before the foundation of the world to be the sacrifice to redeem fallen man from sin into a relationship with God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 tells us as he was chosen. Who's the he? Jesus was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake and for mine. That God had already chosen the path of redemption for fallen man. And it was Jesus Christ, the only way to God, the only way. So what is the content of this eternal gospel? The angel tells us. He says, give glory to God. Give glory to God. Fear God rather than fear the beast. In other words, if you're not fearing God, if you're not really understanding that God is a God of love, a God of grace, but also a God of judgment, we should be in fear of God rather than what people say about us. We live in fear of what people will think about us. Why won't you say something to somebody that you work with about the saving grace of Jesus Christ? Because you're afraid of what they're going to think about you and say about you. We fear them more than God. Give God glory. Fear God rather than fear the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet. Worship God through Christ Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. The command to worship God alone is flooded in the Old Testament prophets. And the call to repentance, to worship and glorify God, was the message of Jesus Christ and the apostles in the new church, the New Testament. See, this message is clear for us today. The gospel message is one of sinners redeemed by God to himself through his Son, Jesus the Christ. That's the gospel message to us. Do we live that every day, and do we proclaim that as the angel did to those who are in our circle, who are in our sphere of influence? We have a sin problem. Listen, God has the answer. He has a salvation solution for us. Through Jesus' miraculous birth, His sinless life, His redeeming death on the cross, His victorious resurrection over death in the grave, His ascension into heaven. We await His glorious return. Oh, listen, do you know this Jesus? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know the Jesus of the Word? Do you know the Jesus that loves you more than anything, more than life itself? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? He's not some religious figure. He's not some historical figure. He is a personal, has a personal relationship with those who call upon Him for salvation. You see, He's our mediator. He's our friend. He's the one that we can go to give us comfort. Oh, listen. Jesus is the one who bridges the gap between us, sinful man, and a holy God. Jesus is the one who bridges that gap. Why is it so important? Why? That God takes sinners like you and me and transforms us into saints. Why? Because verse 7 says it. Because the hour of His judgment has come. The hour of His judgment has come. Salvation is now. Or maybe never. Jesus Himself said, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. We put it off, you know. There's so many people who said, well, you know, I haven't cleaned my life up yet. Why? Why you want to clean it up? You can't. If you could, you would have done it already. You need Jesus to clean your life up for you. You don't clean a fish before you catch it. You have to catch it, put it in the boat, then clean. Jesus wants to catch you first, just like you are. He loves you. He's calling you to repentance. He's calling you to salvation. Come just like you are, with all your mess, with all your mangled up stuff, poor decisions, all the heap of stuff that you created in your life. Bring it to Him for forgiveness, and He'll begin to help you straighten all the rest of it out. Once He straightens you out, the rest comes out pretty easy. Did you catch that? Once He straightens you out, the rest of it straightens out pretty easily. But if He don't have you, He can't straighten your mess out for you, because you're going to keep making the mess over and over and over again. Salvation is now. Do you know Jesus as Savior? Today you can receive Him as your Savior. It's very easily. Call out to Him in repentance. The Lord, here's the mess I've created. You know everything, Lord. Everything from 5, 10, 15 years ago. You know it all. God, you know what I think. You know what I feel. You know what I long and lust after. Father, forgive me. And I trust You today. Would You give me Your grace and come live in my heart? I believe You are who You say that You are. And I'll follow You all the days of my life. You see, it's that easy. And then you tell somebody. See that green sheet that the ladies showed you earlier? Listen, you just write on there, my name is Kevin West. Today I gave my life to Christ. I want to follow Him with baptism. And at the end, you put that in one of these boxes at the doors. And you and I will just sit down with God's Word. Listen, I'm the easiest person you'll ever talk to. And I just want to go in God's Word. I want the best what God wants in your life for you. We see. Why? Because the hour of judgment has come. You don't know and I don't know when our hour of judgment arrives, when we close our eyes in this life. God's last judgment day is predestined and set in motion. It's preordained. Listen, it's already begun. Every day that goes by, every minute, every second that goes by that we breathe on this earth, we're moving one day closer to God's judgment. One day closer. A moment closer. To repent and believe before it's too late. If you never have accepted Christ, His free gift of salvation, listen, today is the day for you. Judgment that God brings is way over our head. It looms there. You and I are really only one heartbeat. The older I get, the more I realize I'm only a heartbeat away from eternity. And sometimes that heartbeat's getting shallow. Heartbeat away from eternity. And Jesus is one breath away. All you have to do is repent. Fear God and give Him glory. Worship Him, verse 7 says. What gives God the right to make these demands? Worship Him who made the heavens and the earth, verse 7 says, the sea and the springs of water. God is Creator. People often worship the created rather than the Creator. It's His universe. He makes the rules and demands glory and worship. I love what Charles Spurgeon, he said this, you will find all true theology summed up in these two short sentences. The first is this: salvation is all of the grace of God. Damnation is all of the will of man. I love it. John Calvin said, since no man's excluded from calling upon God, the gate of salvation is open to all. There is nothing else to hinder us from entering but our own unbelief. The gospel message is preached. The second thing we see, the second angel pronounces judgment upon all unbelievers. Pronounces judgment. Unlike the first angel, the second angel does not preach the gospel. He tells us, the first angel tells us the good news. The second angel tells us no good news of Jesus Christ. Rather, he is now pronouncing judgment on all who have rejected Jesus, worshiped self, the beast, money, some other creation. They refused to submit to God and receive grace for their sins. The second angel, almost like he interrupts the first one. The first angel is preaching the gospel, flying through midair, and John sees the second one come right behind him because nobody responded. He said, okay, now judgment. Now judgment. The day of grace does come to a close. Let me repeat that. The day of grace for man to be saved does come to a close. No one is going to be saved on judgment day. When your eyes or my eyes close in death, it's too late. We have all this time that we're here now to make a decision for Christ. If we ignore that or apathetic about it, living for Christ, if we choose not to, then when this heart stops, I'm in eternity with my sin, and I'll pay the consequences for it. And you will too. See, 2 Peter tells us how long-suffering God, how patient God is with us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow about His promises, for some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. What does verse 8 of Revelation 14 says? The second angel followed, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries. This is actually something said over in Isaiah 21, verse 9. For the prophet Isaiah is preaching to and teaching and proclaiming a judgment on Babylon because the children of Israel have been taken in captivity. Now, John uses Babylon here. It could have been any city or any government that was opposed to Christ. But because the church of 90 AD were very familiar with what happened to the Jewish people carried off into Babylon, and Babylon stood for paganism and stood against God, it was very easy for them to understand that it was symbolic of something greater, this judgment coming. Symbolic, really, of human society that is organized in opposition to God. You ever heard the term secular humanism? It's very rampant on college campuses today. That is opposed against God. They are opposed, it's atheistic. Opposed against God, that it's humans, and that's it. When we're gone, we're gone. This worldly Babylon is going to be destroyed, what the angel says. The angel could have used any modern city that sits in opposition to God. But what does this angel say about Babylon? Verse 8, it says, Fallen is Babylon the Great, because it made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries. Listen, throughout Revelation, the idea of adultery is used to speak of idolatry. Anything that comes before God, anything that you place in front of your relationship with God, when God is no longer a priority or the top priority, not A, but the top priority in your life, you've placed something else there. It has become an idol in your life. Listen, it could be your job. It could be your education. It could be your family. It could be baseball. It could be football. It could be car racing. It could be whatever. It could be your hobby. It could be at the gym. You could be at the gym working out on Sunday morning rather than giving God worship. You see? Those are not bad things. But when they're in the wrong priority, they become an idol. Made the nations drink the maddening wine for adulteries. This verse speaks of the world's attempt with much success to keep people away from following Christ. Babylon, human society, has made the nations drink the wine of her idolatries. Remember where Nebuchadnezzar over in Babylon had the golden statue built, and that was right. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you remember those characters? Because they would not fall down and worship this golden statue, but everyone was commanded to bow down before it. So the whole society of Babylon was told to worship this statue. What are you told to worship today? Singers, movie stars, political figures, so many gods, little g gods in the world. We see a great contrast between the 144,000 God's people who kept themselves pure, as verse 4 said, and the earth dwellers who were seduced into idolatry. In other words, they remained true. These 144,000, the people of God, remained true as disciples of Christ and did not worship other gods. God is anything, little g God, anything that we put in place of worshiping God through Christ Jesus. But Babylon, listen, is human society that stands in opposition to God and the principles of God and has deceived all nations of the world. Fallen is Babylon the Great. Listen, as far as God's providence is concerned, it's already defeated. It's already judged, waiting for punishment. The trial is as good as done. Now the sentencing. Listen, on Judgment Day, it will not matter how popular you are. The riches and possessions you have acquired will be meaningless. Your opinions, your culture, your race, your religion will not matter. In that day, only a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is all that will matter. What's the scariest words that we could ever listen to? What's the scariest words we could ever hear? Depart from me, I never knew you. That's the scariest words that anyone could ever hear. Jesus, or depart from me, I never knew you. Do you know Jesus? Because if you do not, then he will say, depart from me. I don't know who you are. The third angel pronounces damnation on all who died in their sin without Christ. Verse 9 through 11. It says, and then another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand. Remember, that is not a literal. That is the people's worship. That is the people's hearts, following after things of the world. He also would drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lord. Verse 11 says, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. The worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives a mark of his name. This third angel makes his announcement to individuals, to anyone throughout the world, great or small, rich or poor, wherever they are, without Christ, you're judged, and the consequences is damnation. You see, Revelation 13 ended with the consequences of taking the mark of the beast. So if you took the mark of the beast, without taking the mark of the beast, I'm sorry. So Revelation 13 ended, so if you and I as believers didn't take the mark of the beast, in other words, our hearts was not after the things of the world, but our hearts followed God, then we couldn't buy or sell. And there are a lot of countries. I gave you examples that they couldn't buy and sell, and businesses were going under. We saw that in the seven churches of the Revelation, where Christians were being persecuted because they would not worship the emperor. But you see, that's a physical cost, an economic cost. So there was a cost for not having the mark of the beast. But the cost of having the mark of the beast is greater than the cost of not having the mark. What is the cost of having the mark of the beast? Verse 9 and 10 says, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on their forehead or their hand, he too would drink of the wine of God's fury. Listen to what Jesus did for you and for me, Christian. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Christ paid the price for us. Too often, we are following the wrong things. We're afraid of what others say and think about us, and we're afraid of people, the world, and all those things. We're afraid of persecution rather than everlasting torment. We are made more concerned about what people think rather than what God thinks. Those who worship the creation rather than Creator are drunk on the wine of God, will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out full strength into the cup of his wrath. Listen, those who reject Jesus, worship self and man-made stuff, demons, religions, governments, money, all these created things, God will pour out full wrath on them. Jesus did something for us in Matthew 26, 39. It says, in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember what he did? He prayed because the wrath of God was going to be poured out on Jesus on the cross. He said, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup, what cup is he talking about? The full wrath of God's fury be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Christian, God poured his wrath and his fury out on Jesus Christ in your behalf and mine, because he took our sins to the cross. Jesus paid for our sins. The judgment that is coming on the world and unbelievers was poured on Christ for our behalf. And anyone who accepts Christ as Savior can claim what Jesus did in their behalf, what Jesus did for their sins as their very own, and they don't face the judgment of God. We have a Savior who loves us. We deserve judgment. We deserve the wrath of God. But Jesus took our place. Those who bear the full wrath of God because of their unbelief and the lack of surrender to Jesus will die in their sin. What happens to them? Verse 10 and 11 tells us. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. We have a glimpse of hell. Do you know that Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven? And he gave more descriptions about hell than he did heaven, because he never wanted anyone to go there. He died on a cross because he doesn't want people to go to hell. But listen, he also gives us the opportunity to say yes or no. And there are a lot of people who say no. You see, in torment, the torment never ends. The word torment means conscious pain. So people just don't pass out from the pain like we do here in the physical world. The people in hell are aware of their condition. Verse 11 says, there is no rest day or night. They will experience physical and conscious torment forever and ever with no rest. If that doesn't strike fear, if that doesn't just kind of stand out, that listen, if you believe in a heaven, then you must believe in a hell. If you have faith to believe that Jesus Christ is on his throne in heaven, then you must believe that those who reject Jesus go to a place of damnation and pay for their own sin. Well, listen to what this last verse says. Verse 12 and 13. About patient endurance of God's people. Here, Christians, where we get some encouragement again. It says, this calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commands and remain faithful. Verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. What that does for us Christians is remind us that we do not face the full wrath of God's judgment. That when we leave this life, if we pass from this life before Christ returns, is that we are there celebrating with Jesus. We're there at rest from the labors that we've gone through in this life. I don't have to preach another sermon. I don't have to make another hospital visit. I don't have to stand up before family for another funeral. Why? Because we're celebrating. All of that is over. There's no sickness, there's no death, there's no hospitals, there's none of that. There's no counseling session, there's nothing but celebration and a perfect creation with Christ Jesus as our Savior, our Lord. Do you know that Jesus? And it says all of our deeds were followed. Listen, when I encourage you to share Christ with somebody, I encourage you to go on a mission trip, or we're doing things in the community, mission-oriented. Why? Don't do it for yourself. You do it for the glory of God, because that follows you to heaven. There are rewards for what you do for Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, today, thank you so much that we can turn to your word. And God, thank you for the gospel message being preached. God, even the message of judgment coming, people do not like to hear about repentance. People don't like to hear about judgment. But it's fact. It's there. It's truth. Oh God, pray today that your Holy Spirit would stir us as Christians. Stir us to see that there is a lost world all around us. And that we need to be adamant about making disciples. We need to be busy about making disciples. As your word says, God. Because at the end, there's great treasure. Oh, but God, let us be praying. Let us be sharing with our family, with our friends, people who we love the most in all of this world, to understand that they can't follow whatever they want in this life. They need to follow Jesus. Give them that opportunity to respond in faith. In Christ's name, amen.